tabernacle. It was, I don't know, it became so wonderful to me that when Jesus arose from the dead, and we had it as we were studying that, and the greeting that his Father must have given him when he ascended back up to glory after those 33 years down here. That must have been a wonderful homegoing. Praise the Lord. Reality of your word. There's such, this is the only thing that is real. Seeing that scripture that about the, we build upon the sand. Some build upon the sand. I can't find it right off, but it just comes to me often. Some build on the sand, and what does the sand do? You can build a sand castle, and it just, there's nothing there. And that's what the people of the world are doing. They're building on sand, but we're building on a rock. Sure foundation. Thank the Lord. All right, this 25th chapter of Isaiah is the exultant song of the remnant. Exultant song of the remnant. E-X-U-L-T-A-N-T. This is a wonderful chapter. It's very beautiful. And along with chapter 26, we're going to see that it speaks of the praise that will arise from this remnant of Israel after they accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. There will be interwoven in this judgment things of the, that God is going to judge. In fact, that's true all through Scripture. You begin at Genesis, and you have wonderful purposes and blessings, and then all of a sudden we read a section of judgment. And this goes on clear through to the book of Revelation. Remember in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, there's something there that reminds us that sin is going to be left out. And that verse is that without our dogs, and this is 22:15, our dogs and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Clear down to the end of time, we're reminded of sin, that Jesus came to become that sin offering. So it's all through the Word. All right, these songs, before we read this, I just want to bring this in. These songs that this remnant is going to sing, and the church will be in heaven at this time. That this is fulfilled. But these songs that this remnant is going to sing are going to be part of the Psalms. And there's over in the Psalms 95, and I wanted to get into this more today, but I just barely got through this chapter in study today. And I started early enough. I studied all afternoon. And of course, it's something, you get started in, and prophecy is so vast that you want to take off in one direction and another direction, and the Lord says, well, you better stop here. But Psalms 95 through 100 will be, no doubt, some of the psalms that this remnant sings. And I want to read this 98th psalm. This is these are not chapters. These are psalms. People say chapter 98 is a psalm. They're not. These are psalms of David. Many, most of them are David. There's Asaph, many, and Michtel. But let's read this 98th psalm. This is what, one of the things they're going to, one of the songs they're going to sing. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. They've never sung this one before. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm, that's God, Jesus Christ, is his holy arm, hath gotten in the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen, revealed Jesus himself. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Won't that be a day? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. I love this. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Remember, they've just been through the tribulation. They've been oppressed by the enemy, and when they sing this, it's going to be like this. They're going to have voices that's going to resound. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, And let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. All this will be done before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. That's going to be one of the songs that they sing. All right, this 25th chapter of Isaiah, and as we have been doing, I want to read this out of this other rendition. We'll follow it, but yet I'm going to stay with the King James in most of greater measure. All right, verse 1. Thou art my God, O Jehovah, if you want to follow along in the King James. I will exalt thee, thy name will I praise, for thou hast wrought wonders, thy counsels of old. And there's a colon there in this rendition. Thy counsels of old, faithfulness, exclamation mark, and truth, and another exclamation mark. For 'tis thou who hast made of a city a stone heap, of a fortress a ruin, the palace of foemen, no longer a city, to be built nevermore. 'Tis for this the strong people shall give thee all honor. 'Tis for this the great city of terrible nations shall yield thee its fear. For to the poor thou hast been a stronghold to needy ones sunk in distress, a refuge from rainstorm, a shade from the scorching. And what a scorching they're going to have, you know. The sun is going to be so hot during the tribulation days. Somebody ought to find that in Revelation. The sun's going to be so that it's going to scorch men. We think it's hot in the summer, but then it's going to scorch men. A shade from the scorching, when the blast of the fierce ones as storm against a wall beat, as the heat in the desert, this is the fifth verse, as the heat in the desert, the noise of our foemen thou didst subdue, as a cloud's shadow doth temper the noon heat, so was the triumph song of our foemen, our terrible foemen, brought very low. These are will be the foemen, are the enemies of the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's look at this first verse. This is a wonderful verse. And he begins in the King James, O Lord, thou art my God. Now this Isaiah sings this, but Isaiah is singing it as a representative of the remnant that is going to sing this later on. So this Lord here is Jehovah. And when we studied the titles of the names all the divine names of the Lord, Lord Jehovah is the eternal, ever-loving one, and it occurs 7,000 times in the Old Testament. Think of that. Jehovah is a name of covenant relationship with man and also with the nation Israel, because both of these are in relationship to God. Man's going to have to be responsible and give account of himself to the Lord. But Israel especially is in covenant relationship with the Lord. And I'm just going to give you this, but in Psalms 102, Jehovah appears 8 times. And in that psalm, he's always the Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son. This Son of God's never changes. Malachi 3 tells us that, 3:6. And this is who he is. His covenant-making God who never changes. And this name of God teaches us plainly the substance of God. Now remember who Jesus was. He came, as John 1:14 tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was God manifested in the flesh, God himself. And when we think of him as being born of a babe, I think of this a lot. God himself, who created everything, was put in that little body. It's a marvel to me. He created it all, and yet he was in that little body. And then let's go to Colossians, and I want to read this. This one is the substance of God. Well, we have that substance within us. Colossians 2, Now, these are truths. I've heard some of these from when I was a little girl. My father and mother taught these wonderful things. But you know, I'm at the time in my life now that I want to know more. I want to sit and I want to listen. When Glenn gives the word, I sit there. Sometimes I think my mouth's open. And when Lois gives out the scriptures or whoever gives the word, it's so rich, it's so wonderful. I want to know more about what it's going to be like when I get there. I want to know more of the word. So when these things come up into my life, as they do and as they will, that we have this word to give us the power to overcome. Because I was thought of lately, that scripture in Daniel, and Glenn looked it up for me before we left, that the Antichrist is going to try to wear out the saints. And that's what his business is. He wants to get us so discouraged with whatever he brings, the Lord allows him to bring into our lives, that he wants to wear us out. And this is what he'll do, of course, during the tribulation. But here in Colossians 2, in verses 3 and then verse 9. Well, we can't just start there. Talking about Jesus, let's read this second. Colossians 2:2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to undo all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom or wherein are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We want to be wise. It's right in this life we have within us. And when we ask for wisdom, James tells us, we ask and he will not upbraid us. He'll give to us liberally. That's a wonderful thing. And then in the 9th verse, we read, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. And this word complete means cram full. Do you feel that way tonight? We're cram full of him. You know that song, filled with God? Yes, filled with God, number 59. Well, you're complete in him, in which is the head of all principality and power. And we could go on and read that, but we would never finish our chapter. So he says here in Psalms, in Isaiah 25, O Lord, thou art my God. And he says this again in Hosea 2:23. We could have sidetracked into that one too, but give you the scripture. And notice he said, I will exalt thee. This is the remnant. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. This is a precious part here. These verses here that we have give us the first melody of praise. Remember, this is all written in Hebrew poetry. Some of it was set to music. And the wonderful things that he has done or has wrought is that he is displaying his counsels of old. Remember, they were established before the foundation of the world, the counsels of God. And the wonderful things that he's doing here is that he is displaying them. Age upon age, he is unfolding all of these counsels of God. Now, let's go over to chapter 37. This was so precious to me. I have several scriptures. 37:26. Do you get thrilled with the word? I get so thrilled with it, I just, oh Lord, fill me up and praise the Lord. 37:26. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? And of ancient times that I have formed it, now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous each. And this is what he's doing as the word age upon age and day comes and day after day he's unfolding all of his counsels that they the triune God formed and clear back. And then over in 45 of Isaiah. 45:21. He says, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. look unto me. That is good. This word look here means make a turning. I like that. Look unto me. If you turn your in another direction, turn and look at me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Praise the Lord. And then in chapter 46, Isaiah is full of beautiful scriptures. Isaiah 46 and verses 9 and 10. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. He wants us to know that, doesn't he? I like that. There's none else like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. See, every day he's unfolding things that he hasn't yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. These counsels that they made clear back before the beginning of time are going to stand. And everything that we're going to read it tonight in this chapter, and what's in this book of Isaiah, in fact, what's in all of this book, is going to be fulfilled. And then I have also chapter 5:19. Let's go backwards. Chapter 5:19. No doubt there's a lot more on this, but this is, I like this one. This is good. Chapter 5:19. We almost have to start with the 18th. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know if this was the unbelievers that were saying that. So they'll be sorry when he does come, if they continue in their sin. All right, his counsels display his wonders as the events of his purposes are displayed. And these counsels are faithfulness and truth. I love that. Whatever Jehovah does, whatever he brings past, he shows his faithfulness and his truth, the reality of his promises. His promises are sure, and his truth is sure. In their very essence, truth is truth. You know, we've said a while back that people, that today many are falling away from the truth. As Paul told Timothy, there shall be a falling away. But they're going to have to come around full circle and face truth again, and that's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, I'm glad. Both of these words, faithfulness and truth, in the Hebrew, are forms of amen. Both of them, amen and amen. And over in Revelation, remember, I like that, amen and amen. Be it so, be it so. Revelation 3, and this was written to the Laodicean assembly, I believe, but this is how he speaks to them in the character that he speaks to them in. They were the lukewarm ones. He was letting them know what he's saying to them is going to come to pass. In 3:14 of Revelation, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things are the Amen. And when we studied this, we found out that this Amen here is truth, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So there we have it in the book of Revelation. All right, now if there are any questions, because this is an open Bible study and we're here to learn. All right, the second verse. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. This city here that he's speaking of is that city of confusion that we had in the previous chapter in the 10th verse, the city of confusion, which is, it's the full expression of all that man in his pride is building on earth. This is what he's talking about here. And it's going to develop as we are learning and finding out every day of the joining up, and what other word do I want, the merging of so many companies, and it's all going to come under one pretty soon. And that will be the Antichrist. We just learned about TWA and American Airlines, and they're taking in another one. So see, these are all merging, and this is all part of the Word. So it's everything that man is building up on earth, and even this, what they gave this congressional, or what was it, the medal to the Pope. See, all of this is pointing to this day. They're lifting this man up as one of the leaders. But we see this forming. This city of confusion is forming. It's going to be a world, one world empire. And it might look fair, and it might look very nice on the outside, but notice it's a defense city, and it's going to be a ruin. It's just like Babel in Genesis 11. They built that tower to heaven, and what was it made of? Do you remember? Brick. It was made of brick. And man-made. Either man-made, bricks are man-made. And it became a ruin. And that's what this city is going to be. It's man-made, and it's going to be a ruin. All right, the third verse says, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. These strong people are the Gentiles who turn to the Lord. And they're going to join in with Israel, with this remnant, little remnant that's going to be left. And this, and no doubt this city here that he talks about will no doubt be Rome. This, the city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. And that is coming to pass too. All right, notice this fourth verse. I like this one. For thou hast been a strength to the poor. First thing here. We'll just kind of mention each one of them, and we'll note them, what they are. They all express the tender care of the Lord during these days of the Antichrist. He's going to be a strength to the poor or to the needy. A strength to the needy in his distress. And if we think we're in distress, they're going to be in much more distress, because this Antichrist is going to oppress them. Then he's going to be a refuge from the storm. And I have a scripture, there's a lot of scriptures on the refuge, but this is going to be a terrible time. This storm comes, and the word storm here comes from a root word meaning to overflow, to inundate, and it has the idea of a rushing mass of water. This is flood, this storm. And right away that scripture came to me in Isaiah also. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, who lifts up a standard? The Spirit of the Lord. That's, let's read that one. It's over in Isaiah 59. This is for us too, because the enemy does come against us like a storm. But we have the Holy Spirit. All right, 59 and the 19th verse. This is also regarding this time. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. What a day. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, a banner against him. And this is going to put him to flight. And in my margin, when he quotes that, when the enemy shall come in, it's for he shall come as a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord driveth against him. Harmonizes, doesn't it? Same truth there. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's what they're going to do. It's going to be like a flood, just come suddenly. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. It's going to come. And then a shadow from the heat. This is times of trials of persecution that they're going to go through, and it's going to be terrible. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And this is again speaking of this, of the Antichrist. Judgment is the way of God's dealings with the earth and its government. But all of this that is going to come to pass here in Isaiah that we're studying about is going to usher in the eternal day. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants the people up there with him. And in this scorching heat of tribulation and persecution, Jehovah is going to be the one that they're going to look to, the one they rejected when he walked here and when he died for them. And Zechariah tells us they're going to look upon him who they pierced, and they're going to mourn. But they're going to know him. They're going to know he's that very one that they crucified. that he's going to be this refuge, and he's going to be their strength, and he's going to be a shadow for them in the heat and in the trials that they go through. This is going to be a wonderful day for this remnant. And he is this to us now. He's a shadow. He's our refuge. We can run unto him, David said, run unto him for refuge. And we do. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Yes, and all that are with him. Yes, all this. He's going to have an army, you know. All the wicked nations really are going to be joined in with him against Israel. And what are they now? Aren't they all, in even this country, is trying to get land that belongs to Israel away from them, and the Lord's going to hold them responsible for this. But they're the enemies of Israel. And the one place they want is Jerusalem. And that's God's city. And the Lord's going to have it. That's what they want. All right, the fifth verse. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. This branch here is a song. These terrible ones are going to be singing of their so-called victory, but the Lord is going to bring them down. They're going to be brought low. It refers to the Antichrist and all of that, all of those who will be with him. They're again the terrible ones, the same one we had up there in the fifth verse. They are terrible too in the eyes of the Lord because they're against him. Thank the Lord. Won't that be a day? He's going to do it. All of these wicked, all the unbelievers, all of those that line up with the Antichrist, that take the mark of the beast, are going to be brought low. Praise the Lord. All right, in this sixth verse now, through the eighth, we have another little section. I'll just read these out of the King James, and then I'll read it out of the other. And in this mountain, which is Jerusalem, shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. This is a good verse. A feast of wines on the lees, a fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. Won't that be a day? And the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. Praise the Lord. And the Lord God will wipe, the Lord himself is going to do this, wipe away all tears from off all faces. And the Lord and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. When he speaks, he means it, doesn't he? He said this. I want to read this out of this other version. For in this mountain, Jehovah to say they off, and what is Jehovah to say they off? The Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. This is the one, and I'll finish reading this, then we'll go into this. For in this mountain Jehovah to say they are, doth make for all peoples a feast of rich dainties. I like that. A feast of old wines on the lees, of fat things rich in their marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. Yea, in this mountain doth he destroy the cover that shadows the face of all peoples, the veil that has spread its shade over the nations. Won't that be a day? He swallows up death, and that too, forever. I like that. Jehovah Adonai wipes tears from all faces. His people's reproach he taketh away from all over the earth. Jehovah has spoken. Won't that be a day when he takes the reproach of the Jewish people away? That's going to be a day. Praise the Lord. He's going to spread a table, as we read here, before all people, Jew and Gentile alike. These will be the believers, the remnant, and then the believers of the Gentile. All right, what's he going to spread? It's going to be a feast of fat things. Now, today, let's apply this to us, too. This speaks of what we have in Christ, all of the riches that we have in Christ that are immeasurable. We can't measure them. And we can enjoy these riches now. Things here aren't going to last. Whatever riches we may have are not going to last. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Praise the Lord. And the Lord's making us rich tonight. As we take in the Word, let this Word work in our lives, and we grow up in the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to use whatever Word that we're studying tonight to grip our hearts and work in us and give us that thrill. And I love that. When He begins to make us feel that glory that He puts in us, because there's glory in this Word. That's what I love about it, is the glory. Because that's what we're being changed into, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And when we sing glory, it's glorious. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:7. Well, there we can't start. Let's start with the fourth verse. But God, who is rich, abounding with richness in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead, we were a corpse. And I like what Glenn brought out about the earth Sunday. That earth just laid there and let the Lord do with it what He wanted to do. That's what He wants us to do. We were a corpse. We were dead in sins. Have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit or enthroned us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is the feast of that thing. It's going to be spread out there for us, and it's going to take all eternity for us to take it in, to eat it. The riches that He's going to have there for us. In the third chapter of Ephesians, in the eighth verse, we can't even begin to put into words what's there for us. Paul says in Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. He wasn't proud, was he? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the wisdom, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. The natural, we can't, but the Holy Spirit can. He can search these things out. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us rich. Remember Eliezer, who went back to get Rebecca? What did he put? He put bracelets on her and earrings, and he told her on the way back all about Isaac. And that's what the Lord is doing with us. He's taking us on a journey to glory to meet our Isaac, and He's telling us all about this one that we're going to be with. All right, wonderful truth here now in this feast of wine on the lees. In the Hebrew, these four words is one word, wine on the lees. In the Hebrew, is one word, and it has a root meaning. To keep or to preserve, either one, keep or to preserve. And it speaks of wines that have been kept on the lees or the dregs, and sunk to the bottom during the formation process. The lees sink to the bottom, the dregs. And the clear wine is kept on the lees until it is put away for use. It's kept there. It's kept there to improve the strength, the color, and the bouquet, or the fragrance, of this wine. And when the clear liquid then is drawn off, notice it is well refined, as we have in this verse. It's well refined. Now, how does this apply spiritually to us? This is taking place in our lives today. We still have within us, we count him dead, but we still have this old Adam nature still within us. But the wine above the lees is the life of Christ that's within us. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's the fruit. And that comes to the top. This is what's in the wine. The life is developed. It's made fragrant. And as we grow in the Lord and increase in spiritual strength, He begins to fill us with His spiritual power. And then this sweet fragrance, this bouquet, begins to ascend up to the Lord. The life in us becomes a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. But it is a sacrifice, and this ascends to the Lord, and we begin to worship Him. And we do this, and we walk in obedience of faith. And I love that phrase, obedience of faith. Faith obeys, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Faith obeys. I thought that was so precious. And one of these days, the leaves, or the wine's going to be taken all out, the new life in us, and that old dregs are going to be left. We won't need them anymore. We won't need this vessel of clay anymore. We have a treasure. We can compare the treasure that we have in us with the wine. It's Christ in us. Wonderful truth, isn't it? All right. Then this seventh verse is also rich. He said, and He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering or the blindness cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. This veil and the covering are both symbolic of the spiritual blindness that's on the heart of man today. Not only the nation Israel, but man itself. And Satan has put this blindness there. It's a delusion. And it's from the enemy. And it's been there since the beginning of time. But God is going to deliver. And that's what's wonderful. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and read about beginning here. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. And what a day this is going to be. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, I'm going to read 14 and 15. Moses put the veil over his face that the children of Israel cannot steadfastly look to the end. But their minds, 14th verse, but their minds were blinded or hardened. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That's what's going to happen to this remnant. And then the individuals now, when they turn to the Lord, that veil is taken away, and their hearts are opened up to Him. Praise the Lord. And then in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, the next chapter, let's read the third and fourth verses, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid or veiled, it is hid to them that are lost. Now think about this, the people out in the world, if in whom the God of this world, this word God is the magistrate of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, there's that wonderful word, that glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, Satan doesn't want this gospel to shine into the heart. He does everything he can to keep it from shining in the heart. Then let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 18th and 19th verses. Now this is what we were. Let's start with the 17th verse. Ephesians 4:17. This is the condition all of us were in before the Lord turned us about and began to work in our lives. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. That's quite a definite admonition, isn't it? In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. I like that part. We haven't learned Him that way. Then let's go to 1 John, the little epistle, 1 John 2:11. 1 John 2:11. The 10th verse says, He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Isn't that sad? Talking about saints there. All right, any thoughts now before we move on? It's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it, when that veil's taken away from that remnant and they look up upon him? All right, let's read the 8th verse. This is quoted in 1 Corinthians 15:54 by Paul. And I think we've read this, so let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15:54. This is going to be at the end of the 1,000 years. Will not be until then. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Let's start with the 52nd, because this is when this will happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. See, the first trump is when the bridal company is taken up. This is at the last trump, the end of the 1,000 years. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that will be at the end of the 1,000 years, because people will still die during the 1,000 years. They'll live to be 100. Then, if they don't accept the Lord, why, they will die. All right. And this, in this verse, in this 8th verse, we have another name for God. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God. This is Jehovah Adonai, or Jehovah our ruler. And when we studied these titles, we found out that Adonai means master or owner, and also husband. Now he's going to be a husband to this remnant. See, the remnant of Israel is going to be the wife of Jehovah, the earthly people. He's their master. He will be at that time. He's going to be their husband to this nation Israel. And if you want to read more about Jehovah Adonai, if you have a Scofield Bible, in Genesis, the 15th chapter, and the 2nd verse is wonderful references on this subject. We really enjoyed these when we studied these divine titles. And we do have the tapes on, so if any of you ever want to study them, they're very... Oh, I just really enjoyed them. All right, let's read the 9th verse. This is 9th through the 12th. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. They waited for him. Clear back in the Genesis when Jacob said we had waited for him. I believe it's in Genesis 49:18. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. That again is Jerusalem. And then Moab, which speaks of formal modern religion, shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Now this is quite a picture here. I'm glad some of us here are farm related. We know what he's talking about here. For he that is Moab shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. He's going to, and I will tell you about this when we get through reading it. And he, now this is God, shall bring down or force down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. This word spoils means the craftiness. And the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground even to the dust. This is the daughters and the mother. It speaks of religious Babylon here, as we said, formal religion. All right, let's look at these verses now. This is a day that Israel will be a royal nation. They're going to be set above all the nations of the earth. And that's going to be quite a day. The waiting has been long for this nation. We know that when he did come, of course, they didn't recognize him because they were looking for a king. But in this mountain, as the 10th verse says, the hand of the Lord will rest. And I love this. He's going to bring rest and shelter, and he's also going to avenge the enemies of the Lord. And as we said, Moab speaks of formal religious man, this system. It's going to be trodden down for the dunghill. God is going to tread them down as straw is in a dung pit. Now, we are very familiar with it. But notice in that 11th verse, as we said, the he there, the first he is Moab. This is the Hebrew part that explains this. They're going to try and spread forth their hands in the midst of all of this dunghill and try to use their craftiness to still capture people. That's the thought here. But I like what the Hebrew book rendering had this. He said, but one cannot swim in a manure pond. But this is what Moab will try and do. This is going to be a sad place, sad situation they're going to be in. God's going to be judging them and bringing them down low, but they're still going to try and reach out and swim and grab people with their craftiness to draw them in. Satan's not going to give up easily, and he's going to use these people to try and still draw individuals into that system so they will be destroyed, because that's all Satan is a destroyer. If we listen to him, he will destroy us. But God is going to bring them low, and that word spoils there is craft. I'll read that verse out, the 11th verse, out of this other rendition. Yes, yea, and in their midst his hands he's outspreading as the hands of the swimmer sweep round in his swimming. Thus God abases his pride with the craft that his hands wrought. God's going to bring him low. And the 12th verse, A, the steep wall, so towering and lofty. It talks about all this, the large buildings and so forth. They are buildings. There he abases, there he down forces, cast them to earth, even down to the dust heap. Nothing left, is there, with this system that today is trying to take over all of the people of God even today. All right, I'm going to quote one verse from Philippians 2 as we're closing. You know what that is? Let's read it. I'm not going to quote it. It's going to be a wonderful time. I love this chapter, 2 Philippians 2, the 9th and 10th verses. Praise the Lord. What a day we're looking. All of this is so sure. We can count upon this. Count it. We know it's coming to pass. And we see it unfolding, and that's what's so wonderful. 9th verse, Philippians 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's going to be a day. Praise the Lord. And that's wonderful. Thank the Lord. Given him a name, this name of Jesus, they don't want to hear much about anymore. But it's that name they're going to have to bow. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. He's on his throne and he's waiting. Israel's waiting, but so are we, aren't we? We're waiting for him. Praise the Lord. I love that. So much in the Word comes to mind when we begin to give it out. Praise the Lord. Oh, does anyone have any thoughts on this? You have a question?
Yeah, in Revelation 19:11, and I'm tying this back to
Well, yes, because he is a faithful one, and he's true.
Right.
He's true. So
it would be okay to make that connection.
Oh, sure. because he's the one that's going to come out of the glory.
Right, yeah.
But he's going to have people with him. We're going to be with him.
Right, yeah.
And now this will be at the end of the 7 years. And he comes and takes over the nations, and he's going to rule them with a rod of iron.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to want to be controlled. They're still going to want to have their programs to carry out, but they're going to have to submit to him. They can't get out. They're going to try and bring people in with them, but they can't get out. If they want others to destroy you, then that's good. So it's going to be a stench too, isn't it? In the eyes, in the nostrils of the Lord, it's going to be a stench. All right, that's quite a chapter, isn't it? See, the 12 verses, and you think, oh, well, I could teach that and get through with that in a little bit, but tell you, once you get started studying these verses, they just become so rich. That's what I love about this book of Isaiah. The language is just beautiful. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for strength and anointing and the word that is so precious for each one of you. I thank the Lord for each one. Well, I appreciate that, and I thank the Lord for the strength that he gives and for your prayers. I'll tell you, this has been the Lord tonight. That's all I can say. This has been the Lord. Keep praying. Keep praying that this...